chapter 2, verse number 42. And when the child was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey. And they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. And when they had found him not, they turned back to Jerusalem seeking him. And it came to pass after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing him and asking him questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Father, thank you for the opportunity to share your word tonight. I pray that you come by. I ask for your anointing, Lord, and help us, Lord, to share this little thought with us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd like to talk to you for just a little bit about walking unaware. Walking unaware. Amen. This is a very familiar passage of Scripture, and many people have preached from it and talked about it. But one little phrase that always just kind of hits me when I read this passage of Scripture is in verse number 44 when it says, But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey. They just thought he was there. They just went along their merry little way, thinking that Jesus was probably somewhere with their family, somewhere with their friends. But they really didn't check up on him to see if he was with them. They just went along and went a day's journey, just supposing that Christ was in their presence. Do you know that today we've got a lot of folks that are walking unaware of the Son of God? Every day they go about their life, they don't take time to pray, they don't take time to read the Bible. They just assume that the Son of God is going to be with them and going to walk with them and go along every place they go. But whenever they get to a hard spot, whenever they get into trouble, they find out that somewhere along the way they lost the Son of God. They lost Jesus. Friend, let me tell you something. It is a dangerous thing tonight just to go along your merry little way and not know if the Son of God is really with you or not. It's dangerous to right in the middle of the house of God not to pray and not to be reading your Bible, not to be making sure that everything is right between you and the Lord. Amen. There's been many a young person that just supposed that God was with them and just supposed because they was going to church 3 times a week or 4 times a week, just because they were sitting in a Sunday school class, they thought everything was all right. But they found out when they got in a hard spot, whenever they got into trouble, when life brought in some unfortunate circumstances, they found out that Jesus was nowhere to be found. He wasn't amongst them. That somewhere along the way that Jesus had left them. Amen. They just supposed that he was there. Amen. We can come to the house of God, and I've seen a lot of folks do it. They come in and they think just because the pastor's there and just because there's going to be singing, amen, we can come in and flip a light switch and the Holy Ghost is going to be here and Christ is going to come by and touch us and bless us. Friend, it doesn't work that way. Amen. We've got to come with our hearts expecting the Holy Ghost to move and our hearts ready for a move of the Holy Ghost. We can't come in here and just turn on the Holy Ghost and turn him off when we want to, but we've got to come expecting, anticipating, worshiping the Lord, or else we wouldn't come here. And we'll just suppose he's going to be here. Amen. That's the reason why we come in sometimes and our services are dead and dry. Everybody else come expecting the same thing you did. I'm going to let the pastor do it tonight. I'm going to let the song leader work it up. I'm just going to sit back. Bless me if you can, Lord. I mean, I've come. I've been busy. I didn't have to come, but I've come anyway. And so here I am, Lord. Why don't you just go ahead and bless me? You're just supposing. You're walking unaware of the fact that Jesus is not even in the midst of you. Amen. Walking unaware. Just supposing. But we find that after a day's journey that Mary and Joseph begin to look for Jesus. I suppose it was probably about the time when they was going to set up camp for the night. And the Bible said that they sought him. among the kinsfolk and the acquaintance. Amen. Whenever they really needed Jesus, they had to go looking for Him. Amen. That's a tragic place to be at. What would have happened? What would happen if tonight, whenever you leave this place, if you're just supposing that Christ is with you, and you go and you slip on the ice and you have a car accident, and you just have been supposing that Jesus is right there, and just supposing you haven't been studying, you haven't been reading your Bible, you haven't been praying, what would be your end? What would be the end of your life if you've just walked unaware of the Son of God? Amen. There's thousands and thousands of people that are unaware of Jesus Christ. They don't walk with any fear of God. They're just going along their merry little way. But friend, they need to find Jesus. Amen. When you come to a need in your life, you're going to find, amen, you need to come and find where the Master's at. You need to find where Jesus is at. They were seeking Him. They were at a need in their life, and they came seeking the Son of God. Amen. They searched and they searched, but they could not find Him. Amen. They went around and they was looking and they was looking. Amen. Friend, let me tell you something tonight. Amen. You're going to come. There's going to come a point in your life when you're going to need the Son of God. Every one of us, no matter what we're doing, no matter if we're a preacher or a Sunday school teacher, there's circumstances that come our way that we need the help of the Lord. And if we're just walking unaware, walking supposing that Jesus is in our company, what are we going to do in the midst of trouble? Amen. They searched after Him. The Bible said that they searched, that Mary told Him that they sought Him sorrowing. Amen. How many families have had to go searching for Jesus sorrowing because of the things that's come their way? I don't know, I may have told this at some other time when I've been here, but we was on choir tour in Texas. And we was at James Martin's church down in Talco, Texas. And we've been singing when one of the fellas had been up preaching, and about the time he gave his altar call, there was a bunch of sirens that came down. The road goes right beside the church and lights were flashing. And boy, you just knew something serious was wrong. Well, after church, Kevin Cannon's dad came and I rode with him back, and I found out then that there had been a serious car accident just about 200 yards from his house on this old country road. So we walked down there when we got back to the house. And I walked up, and when I was walking to the scene, there was two cars that come flying around me and just about hit me. And I had to get out of the way of the cars, and as I walked up to the scene of the accident, I began to hear screams and hollers and people crying out. And what come to find out, it was the family of the girl that was killed in that car accident. And I walked up to the scene, and I seen the family as they were sorrowing, and there on the pavement lay the 15-year-old girl dead. Dead. The car had been, they had been going too fast, and they went into a ditch. They couldn't pull out of the ditch. They hit a tree and flipped the car over on its top, and it threw that girl out of the car. And I saw her there, and they just had a little bitty seat that covered it up, and I could see her legs coming out from underneath the seat as she laid there. Her life had been taken away that night. Three friends out having a good time. And you know what? I was able to help, be there and help with Brother Martin and some of the other fellows. We went back to that family's house. They had no church affiliation. They didn't know who to turn to, where to go, and their lives were in so much turmoil. Friend, let me tell you something. There has been story after story told just like that. A family that gets in circumstances and gets in trials, and just because they were supposing that Jesus was there, just because they had supposed that the Son of God was walking right with them through all their compromise and through all their turning on, their coldness, amen, we find out that when they get in the middle of trouble, that He was nowhere to be found, and they have to go searching for Jesus. But do you know what it is? It's not that really Jesus has left. He's not went anywhere. It's that we have walked out on Him. We have left Him. Because whenever they came back and they finally found Jesus, you know where He was at? He was exactly where they had left Him. He was exactly where they had left Him. And the Bible says, and He said unto them, how is it that you sought Me? Wist ye not that I must be about My Father's business? Why did you search for 3 days? You know, I read that the other day and I thought about this too. Whenever you walk out on the Son of God and you leave Him behind, it's going to take you a whole lot longer to find Him than what it did for you to leave Him. Amen. 3 days journey. How is it that you sought me? Why did you have to go around? Why did you search Jerusalem trying to find me? Why did you go here and why did you go there? Don't you know that I'm going to be about my Father's business? I stayed right here in the temple the whole time. Then let me tell you something. Sometimes the last place we turn is God. We get a headache. We get sick. We run to the doctor. We go there and we try to get a prescription to take care of it. And we never bow a knee and pray and ask the Lord to come by and touch our bodies. We get in these kind of circumstances. We get in trouble financially, run the bank to take out a loan to pay for this, and we do this when we never bow a knee, amen, trying to find the help of the Lord. We just go along supposing. Friend, let me tell you something. Your help is found in the Lord, amen. When you get in trouble, when you get in bad circumstances, don't go looking here. Don't go and looking for advice in the world or other places, but look unto the hills from whence cometh our help. For our help comes from the Lord, amen. When you get in circumstances, you don't know what to do. Don't run off and try to find somebody, amen, that's going to tell you exactly what you want to hear, but come to Jesus. Amen. Come to the house of God. Find advice in the Word of God. Listen to your pastor as he preaches. Listen to what his advice as he gives it. Don't go looking here, looking there, but come and find Jesus right where you left him. Amen. Come back to Jerusalem. Come back to the house of God. Amen. You'll find that Jesus is right where you left him. Amen. He's not went anywhere. Why aren't we seeing the services we used to, Brother Dennis? Why aren't we seeing the miracles and things like that? It's not because God has left and he's removed it from us, but it's because we have left and went to our own way and we're enjoying our pleasures and enjoying our own selves more than sacrificing in prayer and fasting. Friend, let me tell you something. If we want to get back to old time Pentecost, it's not going to be through new forms or rituals, but it's going to come when we come back to Jesus and we start searching out the truths of his word. Amen. It's not going to come with some revival movement. It's not going to come whenever we go off and send all our money to Benny Hinn or anybody else. It's only going to come when we come back to the Bible and we read about Jesus and we search after Jesus and we do it how Jesus said to do it. Friend, if there's anything we need to do now, it's get back to Jesus. Amen. And find where we have left him. Amen. If you left holiness, friend, let me tell you something. You're not going to find revival any other place. You're never going to find the help for your soul any other place. You might as well just come back to the good old highway of holiness. Amen. And live like Jesus said to live. Amen. You leave this place, you're hurting, buddy. You're going to find yourself in some trouble. You're going to find yourself in some circumstances you didn't want to be in. Friend, it's time to come back to the Son of God and live like Jesus said to live. Hey. Amen. Amen. I heard Brother Clifford Hurst preach a message at Granite City Camp Meeting 1 year on rediscovering Jesus. Rediscovering Jesus. You know what a lot of our problem is sometimes? It's not necessary that we're going to live or anything like that. It's because we have made something else other than Jesus the hub and the center of our worship. When we get our eyes on Jesus and we start doing other things, when we magnify the Spirit and we magnify ourselves other than the Son of God, then we're going to get in trouble. It's time we come back like Mary and Joseph. We come back to where we left Jesus and we pick him up again and we start living like Jesus said, live. Amen. Amen. We need to come back to Christ. Amen. We need to come back to Christ. You know what Jesus' problem was? He left Jesus. He left his side. Amen. You read there in John chapter 13 that story. Amen. I preached the message on that. You find John. He's standing there and John, he's made a decision. He's going to lean upon the Lord. He was found leaning on Jesus' bosom that night. But if you look at Judas, he went out immediately to do the work of the devil. Friend, if he had just stayed with Jesus, Judas wouldn't have ended up hanging in a tree. He wouldn't have gotten the trouble that he got into if he had just stayed with the Son of God. Amen. You look in the Old Testament, you see the story of Abner and Joab. If Abner would have stayed in the city of refuge, if he would not have walked outside the gates, he would not have met a fool's death like he did. But because Abner left the city of refuge, amen, he found destruction to his own soul. Friend, if you leave this place, if you leave the Son of God, if you leave this highway of holiness, you're doing nothing but bringing harm to your very own soul. I didn't plan on preaching like this tonight, but friend, let me tell you something. Whenever you take off out of the house of God, you get bitter at the pastor. You get bitter somebody else. It's going to do you nothing but harm. It's going to bring destruction to your own soul. Amen. When you go
time you get mad at the holiness preaching that's done behind this pulpit and you say, we don't got to live it that way. You don't have to be that strict. Friend, let me tell you something. You come back to this thing. You get in here and you get close to the Son of God. You'll find out that holiness is necessary. You'll find out that this way of life is necessary. There's no better way than I know. Amen. Friend, let me tell you something. I've been on both sides of the fences. I've been in some pretty liberal churches. I've been in them. I've preached in some of them. I've had the opportunity through school to go into some of these churches and try to help them. But friend, let me tell you something. There's nothing better than to get in a good old-fashioned Pentecostal church and experience the blessings of the Lord. And if you think you're going to leave here and find anything better, you're sadly mistaken, my brother. You're sadly mistaken, my sister. It's time we get in here and we stick to the Son of God and we stick to Jesus and we live like Jesus said to live. Amen. There's no better thing, no better way I know. Amen. Thank God I'm Pentecost. No better way I know. Amen. I'm telling you what, there's no better way I know. Amen. There's no way I'm more persuaded now than I have ever been, Brother Collins, that this way called holiness, this way called straight, it's the right way to go. It's the only way to go. Follow peace with all men and holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. Then let me tell you something. You can try your own way. You can try the things that you want to do. You can be like the prodigal son and try your own way and go out and rebel against the Father. But you'll find out when you get down in the pigs, pen. Whenever you get down to the bottom of sin, you'll find that the only way to live is to come back to the Father's house and live like He said to live. Amen. And take on the Father's robe again. Amen. Amen. Walking unaware. That's the problem with a lot of folks today. Amen. They're just going along their merry little way, unaware of what's going around. Amen. We got parents that are bickering. Amen. Telling folks, well, you telling the kids, man, you don't have to listen to that preacher. Amen. They're walking unaware to the dangers that's all around them. Amen. They're not aware that the devil's out to steal, to kill, and to destroy. They're unaware that the fact the devil is out there trying to tear down the family and trying to tear down the church. Amen. He's coming against the highway. He's trying to destroy this place. Amen. He knows it's an institution where God has been and where He's been blessing and helping people. And if He can destroy it, He'll do it in a heartbeat. But then if we'll stay with Jesus, we'll stay on the straight and narrow path. We'll do it like Jesus said to do it. We'll find one day when we make it to heaven, it will be worth it all. Amen. Whenever we walk through the pearly gates and we see our blessed Savior, we'll be glad that we did not leave this way. We'll be glad we didn't turn around or we didn't turn to the right or to the left, but we cut our eyes straight on the prize. Amen. Amen. You'll be worth it. It will be worth it all. It will be worth it all. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm telling you tonight, we cannot walk unaware. We cannot walk unaware. Amen. Whenever you begin to walk unaware, amen, that's when you fall into the traps of the devil. That's whenever you get yourself in the places you don't want to be. Amen. That's the reason why God's given us shepherds. Amen. We're just the sheep. That's why He's given us shepherds. The duty of the shepherd is to lead the flock to water and to lead the flock to pasture, to keep out the things of the world, to keep out the wild beasts that would come in and try to destroy the flock. Amen. That's why He's done that, so we can walk aware of our surroundings. That's why it's important to listen to good preaching and important to listen to your pastor and those that God sets up in authority over us. That's why it's good as me as a young preacher, amen, to get underneath people like Brother Collins and Leon Belt, my pastor, and learn from them so I can walk aware of the circumstances that are around. Friend, let me tell you something. We're living in terrible times. Who knows what's going to happen in 1998? Who knows what kind of legislation is going to go through and bring persecution our way and make it tight on us as believers? But friend, if we're walking aware, if we're walking hand in hand with the Son of God, no matter what the devil brings against us, no matter what circumstances we may face, if we are walking aware, we will be able to make it through this next year. Amen.